But if you close your eyes. Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some Russian propaganda, maggot style. Move on to a tale of two very different economic plans, and follow all of that up with the presidential candidates' plans on dealing with school shootings. Let's begin, shall we? Some weeks are stupider than others, and this week did not disappoint. Take, for example, what is known on TikTok as the Chase Bank glitch that resulted in Dumas' committing check fraud after watching even dumber asses on TikTok. Oh, and let's not forget about the Kroger Senior Director of Pricing, who told the Federal Trade Commission during sworn testimony that the company that he works for has gouged the prices of eggs and milk far beyond inflation since the COVID pandemic because greedy corporations got greed. And because idiocracy always happens in threes. America's poorly educated basement dwellers found out this week that there is absolutely no difference between what they call alternative facts and Russian propaganda aimed to interfere in the 2024 election on behalf of mine incompetent.
The United States has announced sanctions against some executives of Russia's state-funded news outlet RT and a number of other individuals accusing them of trying to influence the presidential election in November.
These websites were designed to appear to American readers as if they were major U.S. news sites. They were filled with Russian government propaganda that had been created by the Kremlin. Internal documents of the Kremlin described the content as, quote, bogus stories disguised as newsworthy events, close quote. The Russian public relations companies drove viewers to these websites by deploying influencers and paid social media advertisements. They also created fake social media profiles, posing as U.S. citizens, post comments on social media platforms with links to the sites. According to SDA's records, it actively sought to, quote, eliminate the possibility of detection of the Russian footprint.
Now, despite what the headlines from the Associated Press, NPR, and other mainstream outlets suggesting that maggots were duped into spreading Russian propaganda and right-wing influencers clutching their pearls because they are the real victims here, there's just one thing that none of these idiots can deny. The Kremlin's narrative is coming from their dear leader.
In the last 12 months, 159 different countries were represented by people having come in illegally. Our country is being poisoned, and they don't even speak English. They're coming out of the jails. They're coming out of the mental institutions and insane asylums, being in luxury hotels above where the veterans are.
Illegal aliens. You know, there's no correct term because any term you use, they criticize you. Shouldn't use the word alien. You shouldn't use the word migrant. They want to take all the words away so that you can't talk about the subject.
That's right, kiddies, because when it comes to Russia providing the Reich wing with their talking points, it isn't just about shit-talking Ukraine. It's also the one about brown people coming to take the white man's job and then browning up the country with their multiracial babies. Oh, and don't forget the old free speech is under attack, which is just KKK for I want to say the racist part out loud without any consequences. Oh, and if we're being honest, Russian propaganda pairs quite nicely with the maggot influencers who are already white-splaining to their audiences, which is why this whole we're the victims here excuse really doesn't make much sense. Especially when lying about reality is Trump-supporting influencers' whole shtick, something they learned from the Mar-a-Lardo himself. Take interfering in an election, something Russia and Eric's dad know a lot about.
And from my standpoint, I spent $100 million fighting Joe Biden. And even during the convention, you know, we're only talking about Biden. And then we're not fighting him anymore. We're fighting somebody else. We won that election by so much. 10 or 12 million votes more than that. More than anybody had ever gotten. We got the most votes of anybody, of any sitting president in history. And he beat us by a whisker. And it was a terrible thing. They used COVID to cheat.
You get indicted for interfering with a presidential election where you have every right to do it. You get indicted and your poll numbers go up.
And just like little Poot from Russia, Fat Nixon thinks he has the right to interfere in an election because Biden cheated in 2020 with COVID. The same guy Gummy D claims is too old for the job he has is also a master of viruses, being able to create a global pandemic with the flick of his wrinkled fingers. Talk about election interference, am I right? So what does it matter if Lard Father uses AI-generated pictures of black women or steals the identities of women online who aren't even Americans so they can create fake maggot profiles all over the internet? And while we're on the subject of using women for political gain, here's some old bullshit pervert Hoover said about transgender kids and public schools at a recent Planned Parenthood meeting.
And this is affecting our schools because we want to talk about schools. Think, who would want men playing in women's sports? I mean, just think of this stuff. Think of this stuff. No, but who would want that? The transgender thing is incredible. Think of it. Your kid goes to school and comes home a few days later with an operation. The school decides what's going to happen with your child.
No, the fuck they don't. And I should know. I've got two kids in public school currently, and the only thing that they come home missing are the keys to the house. But just like Tiny Putin's straightening of Russia, asshole Leone is hating on an entire group of people, children, by the way, who are just trying to exist. A talking point that is praised by Christian nationalists who identify as evangelical, Catholic, or any of the other Republican Jesus spinoffs. And while we're discussing how we should be raising our children, the right wing has their mind set on making sure everyone follows their religion's rules on childcare. Here is Vice President Hopeful from Hickville and self-proclaimed Captain of the Cushions, Jabberdork Vance, suggesting how we could lower the cost of daycare for children.
It's very hard for working families to get by. How will we lower the cost of daycare?
It's such an important question, Charlie. And I think one of the things that we can do is make it easier for family models to choose or for families to choose whatever model they want, right? So one of the ways that you might be able to relieve a little bit of pressure on people who are paying so much for daycare is make it so that you know, maybe like grandma or grandpa wants to help out a little bit more, or maybe there's an aunt or uncle that wants to help out a little bit more. If that happens, you relieve some of the pressure on all the resources that we're spending in daycare. Got a lot of people who love kids, who would love to take care of kids, but they can't because the state government says you're not allowed to take care of children unless you have some ridiculous certification that has nothing to do with taking care of kids. Don't force every early child care specialist to go and get a 6-year college degree.
Excuse me, what in the 1950s misogyny is J.D. Worthless saying? We should lower the cost of child care by passing the expenses on to any female relative that we have. Because watching your grandchildren all day long is exactly what retired seniors want to do with the remaining time that they have left on this planet. And don't think I didn't notice Ohio's lazy boy had not one word to say about helping families out with the actual cost of daycare. Because that would be a handout, and we can't empower American families by lowering their daily survival expenses. They've got to pull themselves up by their own bank accounts and figure it out without using an ATM glitch. Kind of like how everyone is trying to figure out what the fuck Grandpa Tangerine verbally vomited into a microphone after he was asked a very straightforward and serious question about how we reduce the cost of childcare.
President Trump, the real cost that's breaking families' backs and preventing women from participating in the workforce is childcare. If you win in November, can you commit to prioritizing legislation to make childcare affordable? And if what specific piece of legislation will you advance?
Well, I would do that, and we're sitting down. You know, I was somebody. We had Senator Marco Rubio, and my daughter Ivanka was so impactful on that issue. It's a very important issue. But I think when you talk about the kind of numbers that I'm talking about, that because, look, child care is, couldn't, you know, there's something, you have to have it. In this country, you have to have it. But when you talk about those numbers compared to the kind of numbers that I'm talking about by taxing foreign nations at levels that they're not used to, but they'll get used to it very quickly. And it's not going to stop them from doing business with us, but they'll have a very substantial tax when they send product into our country. Those numbers are so much bigger than any numbers that we're talking about, including childcare, that it's going to take care. We're going to have, I look forward to having no deficits within a fairly short period of time. Coupled with the reductions that I told you about on waste and fraud and all of the other things that are going on in our country, because I have to stay with childcare. I want to stay with childcare. But those numbers are small relative to the kind of economic numbers that I'm talking about, including growth, but growth also headed up by what the plan is that I just told you about. We're going to be getting trillions of dollars, and as much as childcare is talked about as being expensive, it's relatively speaking not very expensive compared to the kind of numbers we'll be taking in. We're going to make this into an incredible country that can afford to take care of its people, and then we'll worry about the rest of the world. Let's help other people. But we're going to take care of our country first. This is about America first. It's about make America great again. We have to do it because right now we're a failing nation. So we'll take care of it.
Okay, I have a lot of questions, but immediately I have two. What were they clapping for? Are they Pavlov's audience? And what was old man Donald rambling on about?
You know, I do the weave. You know what the weave is? I'll talk about like 9 different things and they all come back brilliantly together. And it's like, and friends of mine that are like English professors, they say, it's the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. And, but the fake news, you know what they say? He rambled. That's not rambling. When you have, what you do is you get off a subject to mention another little tidbit, then you get back onto the subject and you go through this and you do it for 2 hours. And you don't even mispronounce one word.
Okay, now I know where the bar is. Whatever, old whack Donald. Aside from the fact that this moldy orange is incapable of a straight-up answer to a question, somewhere in that incoherent train of thought response is the notion that tariffs are going to make everything cheaper. See, according to Donnie Mencia, charging foreign countries more money to import their goods into our country isn't going to result in companies gouging their consumers or all of their customers because they already are. So why would they have to continue to do that? Prices would come down because no one ever heard of a corporation raising their prices, making their goods and services cost more just because they could. And never mind the fact that Americans have been paying more for everything while businesses cry about increasing supply chain costs and tout record profits all at the same time. What the bankruptcy king is proposing is a way for Americans to pay even higher prices for survival necessities while giving corporations more excuses as to why no one can afford to buy anything anymore. And that's just fucking dumb, especially when there is an alternative out there, and Kamala Harris has it.
Vice President Kamala Harris unveiling her economic agenda. Her plan includes an expanded child tax credit of up to $6,000 for families with newborns and up to $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers. She'll work with Congress to impose a federal ban on what her campaign calls price gouging in the food industry.
Want to expand tax relief for new small businesses. The tax break is part of her goal of hitting 25 million new small business applications in her first term.
On average, it costs about $40,000 to start a new business in America. And the current tax deduction for a startup is just $5,000. Part of my plan is we will expand the tax deduction for startups to $50,000.
And finally, folks, someone is actually talking about doing something about the cost of living in America. Kamala Harris wants to put more money back into the parents' pockets with a $6,000 credit for newborns and give families $3,600 a year in child tax credits until the child turns 17. Not to mention $25,000 for first-time home buyers for the down payment, while also penalizing Wall Street for wanting to buy up all the single-family homes and then turn them into unaffordable rentals. And if you want to be your own boss, well, Kamala's got your back, allowing up to $50,000 in write-offs for your first year in business, making a vote for Harris and Walls a vote for your economic independence. I mean, why go to work for some corporate asshole who doesn't believe in paying a living wage when you could start your own business and decide how much you're worth? That's what Kamala Harris America will look like. And I don't know about you, but I want to live there. Instead of the America that we have now, of course, where a drug addict mother and a gun nut father can raise a teenager to be just another school shooter.
Horror in Winder, Georgia, after officials say a suspected shooter opened fire in Appalachian High School.
There's a 14-year-old student here at the high school. Again, he has been taken into custody. He will be charged with murder, and he will be tried as an adult.
Colt Gray, 14 years old, had just transferred to this school district in the last couple of weeks and actually was just on his second day in the school.
The 14-year-old suspect accused in the shooting has been charged with four counts of felony murder. Federal authorities say he was previously investigated over school shooting threats.
And don't forget to thank a Republican for loosening gun laws, specifically Georgia, that place where every gun nut can take a gun and carry it in public without a permit, not just for the grocery stores, mind you, but also college and university campuses. Combine that with a child being raised by a career meth head and an abusive father who somehow still has a legal right to own a gun, and you've got America's 417th school shooting since Columbine back in 1999. The aptly named Colt Gray is 14 years old and responsible for the deaths of two fellow students, two teachers, and injuring nine others. And don't forget to thank his father, who is also being charged with being responsible for the murders his son committed. See, Daddy knew his son was more than just passively interested in past school shootings, because the FBI and local authorities came to their house in 2023 to discuss the threats his son made online. Back in May of 2023, Daddy told the cops that his son does not have access to the many weapons that they have in their home if the child is not supervised, but then proceeded to give an AR-15 to the boy that same year for Christmas. That is the same gun Colt used to kill his teachers and classmates. Because responsible gun owners? No, it couldn't be that. That is a myth perpetrated by gun enthusiasts who probably wouldn't have a gun if we had preventative gun laws, background checks that actually checked out the person wanting a gun and made sure the gun owner stayed out of jail while they were still a gun owner. And speaking of gun-related myths, here's the reckless recliner telling a crowd some old bullshit that school shootings are just a fact of life here in America.
The Kamala Harris answer to this is to take law-abiding American citizens' guns away from them. The states with strict gun laws, they have a lot of school shootings. And the states without strict gun laws, some of them have school shootings too. So clearly strict gun laws is not the thing that is going to solve this problem. I don't like this. I don't like to admit this. I don't like that this is a fact of life. But if you are a psycho and you want to make headlines, you realize that our schools are soft targets. We've got to bolster security so that if a psycho wants to walk through the front door and kill a bunch of children, they're not able to. I don't want my kids to go to school in a place where they feel like you've got to have additional security, but that is increasingly the reality that we live in.
Yeah, that may be true, but it is a reality Republicans have created in exchange for the blood-soaked cash that they love to come from the NRA. And thanks to all of that money, guns are the number one killer of school-age children in America. The reality is, cops on school campuses either escalate violence during the school shooting or do fuck all to save a life. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Uvalde. And for those of you in the basement crying about how guns don't kill people, people kill people, here's some logic. When access to a gun is easy, like it is in Georgia, people wanting to kill other people happen to be choosing the gun when they want to kill people. Hence why making a gun more difficult to obtain and keep checking up on the people once they get the gun would probably result in us being able to prevent people like this gun owner and his kid from getting a hold of a gun and killing his classmates and teachers, because his irresponsible gun owner of a father would have had that gun taken away from him probably several years before this tragedy even happened. It would have prevented it. Or, as Kamala Harris puts it,
this tragic shooting that took place in Winder, Georgia. You know, our hearts are with all the students, the teachers, and their families, of course. And we are grateful to the first responders and the law enforcement that were on the scene. But this is just a senseless tragedy on top of so many senseless tragedies. And it's just outrageous that every day in our country, in the United States of America, that parents have to send their children to school worried about whether or not their child will come home alive. It's senseless. It is. We've got to stop it.
Yes, we do. Because I'm one of those parents who sends two kids to school Monday through Friday. And I know in the back of my mind they might not come home just because they went to school. It's real. It's tangible. It's a fear that I have, that they have, that we all have, knowing that just because they went to school, they might not make it home. And I know that I'm not alone, but that doesn't give me comfort because my mother never feared for my life, me going to school the way that I fear for my children. As a student, I was not trained on how to avoid being shot in my classroom the way that my children are. And the worst part about this anxiety that we all feel is that it is completely preventable. School shootings are not a fact of life. They are a byproduct of our refusal to regulate gun ownership just half as much as we regulate driving a car. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. But we are always available for your listening pleasure on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, or basically wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening to this show. To Dare for Now.